But in cashing out, we're talking about the true purpose, kind of above and beyond the things you can buy or the conveniences you can enjoy. Mm-hmm. We're talking about managing relationships, right? About half the marriages in the U.S. end up in divorce, and the leading cause is, you guessed it, money. A recent article from the New York Times stated that 66% of working parents are suffering from parental burnout. Yeah. And in terms of community, there's no shortage of organizations or nonprofits that are underfunded and lack leadership. So when you think about what you can or who you can be once you've achieved a degree of financial freedom, the answer is a better husband or a better wife, a more empathetic and energized parent, or just someone who makes their community better. And we talk about that as we break down what it means to be rich and regular, which is, you know, the name of this podcast. We talk about it in the context of what financial freedom looks like relative to the image that most people have in their minds. So I think that's what I want people to walk away with, is just this larger purpose behind wealth building.
Welcome to the Rich and Regular podcast presented by Success, where we explore life at the intersection of money. I'm Julian.
And I'm Kirsten. And today we are so excited to talk about our first book, Cashing Out, Win the Wealth Game by Walking Away. I mean, I feel like a little kid the day before Christmas, even though it doesn't come out till next week. I'm so excited that it's finally going to be in people's hands.
Yeah. Well, it's technically in a few people's hands
right now,
which is still kind of wild to see. But no, I am just as excited as you are. I know for a fact that there are some people listening today who have already pre-ordered, but I'm even more excited for the people who did not know, who have been following and listening, but did not realize that we actually wrote a book. And so we wanted to dedicate an entire podcast. We're actually going to talk about this a couple
of times. Yeah.
This is the first part of a two-part series. But no, I mean, listen, this is a dream come true.
Yes.
Like, I have always enjoyed writing as far back as I can remember. I think in my 20s, I really got and took it seriously. I remember taking writing classes. I was a part of a organization of creative artists and writers. And it's just interesting because there are some people who only know me. They're like some people who only know me one way, like as a chef. There are some people who literally only know me as a writer. But I've left that life behind a long time ago. And so now to sort of come into this moment and to have the privilege of going through this experience and it meaning so much, like not just for us, but for the people that we know that it's going to be impacting and shaping their lives. I just think that this is really, really cool.
Yeah, I feel the same way, because as much as I have also always been a writer and it's been my dream to read a book, to write a book.
Yeah.
I think I identify more as a reader than I do a writer. I've been a huge book nerd my whole life. I still am a book nerd. If you follow us on YouTube, you've seen I've started to talk about the books that I read, but I just love to read. So to know that I've written something that even I would want to read is also like a bit of a I don't know. It's fun. It's fun for me.
Yeah. It's so weird. I just want to say, right, I'm going totally off script right now, but people who haven't traditionally published books, obviously wouldn't get it. It's a really weird experience. We're going to talk a little bit about that today.
Yeah.
But we are excited, not just because we wrote it.
Right.
But I'm also excited to read it.
Yeah.
I flipped through a few pages and I
reference it often.
And I was thinking back to, where I was emotionally when we were
having
certain discussions about those things. So it is, even for us, a really unique experience. If we sound particularly excited, it's because we've literally, maybe just a couple of days ago, were able to actually touch the physical copies of the book. So all of that to say, this episode is going to be dedicated to us talking about the book. We won't be offering up any, I'm sure we'll find a way to include some direct financial tips or explore some type of financial subject. But we're going to be spending some time talking about the book, what we want readers to walk away with. After reading it, we're going to bang through some frequently asked questions, things that we've gotten, some questions you all may have. And what you can expect from us with respect to the book over the next year or so. So as I said, this is part one of a part two. I would consider this one more of a general overview or an introduction. And so without any further delay, let's dive into some of that stuff.
We should try to make this fun. Like if you can count how many times we say the word excited and send us an email with your count, we'll send you a free book. Little incentive to wait till the end.
Excited, excited, excited. That's three.
Well, anyway.
At least three, in addition to the others that we've said. Okay, so I want to start, and this is one of the things that I mean when I say that this process has been really interesting, because one of the things that I just want to get right off the top is that this is a book, and what I mean by book, because I've come to realize that some people feel like, oh, you know, a book is a dime a dozen. Everybody's got a book, right? And I was like, what? Like, I've been in such a writing hole that I did not realize that certain people had preconceived notions about what it meant to be a writer or to have a certain book.
Right.
And so I did some quick Googling, and I have a question for you.
Ooh.
How many book titles are self-published every year?
Quick. Ooh. Yes. I don't know. 2 million.
That's pretty good. That's pretty close. 1.7 million books are self-titled every year. So
I think that's more than traditionally published.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot, right? So I could actually understand why some people kind of feel like, all right, another book, right?
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot of books. I just don't happen to know a lot of people, right? So I would imagine these are your church friends, coworkers, maybe, classmates. I don't know. And that's not to diminish, you know, self-publishing. We've actually self-published a book
as well.
But what I mean when I kind of jokingly, but not so jokingly, refer to this as a book is that it's a traditionally published book. And so it's published through a major publisher, Penguin Random House, which happens to be the largest English language book publisher in the world. Last time I checked, they were just like the largest. I don't know. But they're like the biggest. And our imprint is Portfolio Books. And so if you think about it like the music business, you could say that Penguin Random House is like the Universal Music Group or like Warner or Sony Music, like the big brand, the big company.
Right.
Portfolio Books as our imprint would be like the label within that group. So like Columbia Records or RCA or something like that, Def Jam, right? So each label or imprint typically has like a feel for the type of artists or authors in this case that they actually publish. And so Portfolio Books has published authors such as Seth Godin, which as a marketing major and someone who worked in marketing is like the guru of marketing. He wrote the book entitled This Is Marketing.
Yeah.
Simon Sinek, who is a world-renowned thought leader and writer and speaker who wrote Start With Why and several other books. In fact, his TED Talk was one of the first TED Talks I'd ever seen, which made me fall in love with the idea of TED. Like, and at that point, I was like, someday I'm going to do a TED Talk just because like, that was amazing and I want to see it. Ryan Holiday, another incredible writer.
Yeah.
He's written Stillness is the Key, Courage is Calling, like tons of other books. Marie Forleo, Everything is Figureoutable, which was
and
a fantastic book. Yeah, and B-School. Cal Newport, Digital Minimalism. Like all of these people are published authors under that same imprint. And so for us to be included among this like elite class of thought leaders is such an incredible privilege. So Portfolio, their mission is to write books for ambitious people, to share powerful ideas that inform and improve people's lives. They also focus a little bit on the workplace, right? They tackle all kinds of subjects, as we just mentioned, from technology to business to entrepreneurship, you name it. They cover the full gamut. And again, for us in our words and our work, to be alongside some of who I believe to be some of the country's brightest minds is just a huge privilege and not something that we take lightly.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Even as you're saying those names, I'm like smiling, reflecting on the moments that I discovered them in my own career path.
I was going to say, yeah, we've read these books. Like I said, I've watched these TED Talks. So like here we are, like within the same group. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, and even from a writing perspective, Seth Godin absolutely like changed the way that I write.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on simplicity and clarity of an idea. And it doesn't have to be, you know, everything doesn't have to be a think piece and there's consistency. And so, yeah, it's still an honor to be with the Portfolio team. And I look forward to our book being, you know, among some of those other ones. But I do want to talk a little bit about the title, Cashing Out. So fun fact, that was not our first title. It was actually like our fifth title, maybe like our seventh, include the titles that we put on the original book proposal. Yeah. But we're happy with it now, even though, you know, it took us a while to land on it. And personally, I love it for so many reasons. One, there's a song about it. So hopefully one day the search engines will display. It's not a great song. It's a little ratchet. But it's catchy. Like once you start singing it, it just kind of gets in your head a little bit, but it still dominates the Google search. So I'm hoping that more of you guys start to Google Cashing Out book so that we can show up among, you know, that's the top results for cashing out.
Success looks like hitting the first page for the term, having eclipsed the ratchet song.
Yeah. And then the other thing that I like about it is that it just kind of reminds us that, much like a casino, our careers are really just a game.
Yeah.
And part of the premise of the book is that we have kind of framed up winning as getting this big job or this big promotion. Mm-hmm. And that's actually not what winning looks like in today's casino-like economy. Winning is putting yourself in a position to walk away whenever you're ready on your own terms. And so I just like that the title isn't a directive, because I remember we went back and forth between cash out, which is like telling you what to do, versus cashing out, which is more kind of illustrating this ongoing process of you constantly being in positions to walk away from anything that's not serving you. So I just like that it's got like a little play on words that allows for a lot of great conversation and metaphors.
Yeah, and I will join you in my confession of not loving the title at first either.
I loved it at first.
Oh, I did.
I think it was a subtitle you had beef with.
Oh, yeah. It was a subtitle. It was. Listen, guys, it's a lot of work. There's a lot of work. Like, you don't just write down whatever you think and then all of a sudden people are like, oh, love it. Yeah. Let's publish it. And it's like, no, people go through it with a fine tooth comb and all the research, all that stuff. It is a lot of work. And the title was was not exempt.
And it's humbling because we had a point of view on a title that we loved, on several titles that we love, but we had to admit that, like, we're actually not the experts on book publishing. Like, at some point, we should listen to the people who do this for a living. Doesn't mean that I don't have a valid perspective, but that title might be better in another format versus, like, a book.
Correct. And like we always say, no good idea is ever wasted. So even if we don't use it for a title, we'll use it for something else, a talk, video, something.
Some merch.
Merch, you name it. The other thing I will say about the book that I think is really important is that it's written from a Black perspective and primarily for a Black audience. Now, that's not to say that if you're not Black, like, don't buy it, or that there's nothing to gain from it. Like, that would just be ridiculous. But we do think that applying that lens was important. And obviously, it was intentional for a couple of reasons. The first one is that 75% of traditionally published books are by white authors. That's compared to 5% of Black published authors. So again, when we think about how rare the air is that we're stepping into, like, when you literally think about Black History Month and the handful of Black authors that you may know of, like, we are kind of entering this group, and it's kind of a bittersweet kind of feeling where it's like, wow, like, who am I to be amongst the handful of artists? But at the same time, we understand that we've gone through the process, and we're happy to be here, and we're proud of the work, and think that the message that we're talking about is particularly relevant and will be relevant for quite some time. So that's one of the reasons why we think that's important. The second one is, as someone who's read lots of books about money, most of them, if not all of them, do not acknowledge the difference in the lived experience of the readers, or especially when those people come from marginalized groups. They talk about saving like 10 to 15% of your income, but there's little mention of the racial wage gap or like the gender wage gap or the lower likelihood that you'll be promoted at work to a leadership position in most cases if you're a woman or a person of color. Like, these are very real, unfortunate phenomenons, right? And so we're asking people to follow these general rules of thumb without really factoring in some of the other things that are actually impacting their abilities to do it. And so we felt that it was really important to talk about those things, because that's one, part of our lived experience. We can't talk about money without talking about work, because that's how we, for a big chunk of our lives, actually earned money. And so we also have to talk about all of the other things exactly. that kind of come along with that. So the third thing I would say is the importance of understanding culture. As writers, as creatives, we know that understanding culture is, I like to think of it as the adhesive that makes a message stick, right? It's the reason why, if you think back a few years ago, why the movie Black Panther had such a deep impact on pretty much the country, but especially within the African-American community, is because it was so rich with cultural references and stories. And though, so those are the kinds of things that we wanted to do when we talk about exploring life at the intersection of money at the beginning of every single podcast. That same idea, sort of being willing to explore life at the intersection, in this case with our book, at the intersection of race and money, we were really, really excited to do that. And we know how powerful that can be.
Yeah. And also, we're Black. So
that part.
we know what it feels like to work in predominantly white environments and the toll that it can take on you. Mm-hmm. And when you don't believe that you can be your authentic self. We've always, like you said, done that and explored the murkier parts of money. And, this book is no different. I do want to go back, take a step back to the traditional publishing process for a little bit and just kind of give some inside baseball behind the scenes and let y'all know how it worked. The first thing you should know is that it's really, really slow.
Yeah.
We started the...
And that's not, again, that's not, this is normal.
This is normal.
It's not like a diss, like Penguin is slow.
And slow is relative. Like back when there was no printing press and people were like hammering words into stone, like it was much slower then and it had far less distribution. So it's slow relative to the speed of the digital environment and the internet where you can publish at the click of a button, right? So our book process started back in 2019. And it took us this long. The book will come out, hit shelves June of 2022. And to your point, we wrote this during the pandemic. And I remember when we started with the book proposal, our ideas felt a little bit extreme. They felt a little radical. And our title reflected that. Like our titles were very like eye-grabbing and almost a little pessimistic. But so much has changed over the last 2 years. And the message, I think, is more relevant now than it was when we started. And I think I mentioned this earlier. I think the last thing that I'll add, which is a difference between self-publishing and traditional publishing, is actually the distribution. This book will be available in retailers around the country and in some cases the world. So even just the idea of walking through a airport and possibly seeing my book in a bookstore there or a Target display case or an Amazon or Walmart, anywhere, it's just still like a little wild to me.
I just thought about that. I would have a different feeling if our faces weren't on the cover.
Right.
Right. I would still, I was like, oh, that's our book. You know, let me go touch it, maybe sign it. Right.
Yeah.
As I've seen other writers do, but to your point, that's going to be weird. You're right. That's so weird. Anyway, it's still pretty cool. Along those lines, I would also add that for those of you who do not like or read physical books. In this case, we have a hardcover book. We also recorded the audiobook, which was another amazing experience. You might think that it's no different than like recording a podcast, except it's not. It's a very, very long process. I think we were slated to read it over a 3-day period, and we ended up finishing in about 2 days.
Yeah, I think that's right.
2 days. And we basically took turns in most cases. Like it was like, I'll do this chapter, you'll do another. In some cases, we sort of mixed it up. And so there may have been sections within a chapter that I would read or you would read, just kind of depending on what was being read at the time, if it made more sense or if it was your particular voice versus our blended voice, which is what most of the book is. But that's a really, really interesting experience as well.
Yeah, there's like somebody in your ear reading like silently as you're reading, but they correct you anytime you say something.
Or stumble or mispronounce.
So I have a habit of adding the word that in sentences, even though it doesn't appear. It's like a phantom verbal tick thing that I do. And so, she would be like, yep, you said that. And it's like, oh. you said audio, and the word is audios. Like, it was very weird to hear somebody like just kind of tracking your thoughts.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, it was so interesting. But it was kind of cool because we were in a booth, like a recording booth.
Oh, yeah. It took everything in me not to spit a hot verse, yeah. Freestyle on them.
I started to do it a couple times myself. I will say this. I cannot wait. And for those of you who happen to have an Amazon Echo, I cannot wait to go to it and say, Alexa, read Cashing Out.
See, now our Alexa's turning on.
Just to be sure, that is Catching Up by Rona Fegan.
No. Catching Up. I don't know what Alexa said. You can leave
Stop
that in there.
Stop saying her name.
Maybe you should just plug it out.
Her name in Julian's library.
Anyway, so let's move on
I don't say the A word anymore.
What we want people to walk away with, pun intended.
Oh, that was corny.
I'll go first. So I think the first thing I want people to walk away with after reading Cashing Out, Win the Wealth Game by Walking Away, is a deeper purpose behind building wealth.
Yeah.
So in the book, we talk about how the media has shaped how most people think or view kind of wealth building and how limited or destructive that can be. But in Cashing Out, we're talking about the true purpose, kind of above and beyond the things you can buy or the conveniences you can enjoy. Mm-hmm. We're talking about managing relationships, right? About half the marriages in the U.S. end up in divorce, and the leading cause is, you guessed it, money. A recent article from the New York Times stated that 66% of working parents are suffering from parental burnout.
Yeah.
And in terms of community, there's no shortage of organizations or nonprofits that are underfunded and lack leadership. So when you think about what you can or who you can be once you've achieved a degree of financial freedom, the answer is a better husband or a better wife, a more empathetic and energized parent, or just someone who makes their community better. And we talk about that as we break down what it means to be rich and regular, which is, you know, the name of this podcast. We talk about it in the context of what financial freedom looks like relative to the image that most people have in their minds. So I think that's what I want people to walk away with, is just this larger purpose behind wealth building.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I don't know that I have any one thing, but I will say, I think of our book as the definitive guide, the definitive financial and career guide for Black professionals, for Black people, but specifically for Black professionals. And I think in many ways we are demystifying wealth building. We are, I'm going to make up a word here, de-romanticizing entrepreneurship. We are humanizing, you know, like money and just like what it actually feels like to kind of crack that subject open for the first time without it being overwhelming or intimidating. I am really, really excited about that. In addition to that, there's a lot of research that went into this book. And so if you're not the type of person who wants to wake up and read about the stock market or, you know, trends in labor or economic growth about the United States compared to other countries, like some of those things are sort of incorporated into our book and in our message. And so like I'm excited that we were able to take all of that, whittle it down into really cohesive messages and present it in a way that I think makes it really, really relevant. So that's probably not any one thing, but it's like I'm just excited about it all.
Ooh, a couple of excited's there for those keeping score at home.
Okay, so FAQs, frequently asked questions. So we've received lots of them via DM, email, in person, you name it. So we wanted to go ahead and tackle some of those. We'll just kind of take turns. I'm going to start asking the question. And the first question is, when can people buy the book?
You can buy the book right now. So it launches on June 14th.
But what does launches mean?
Launches means it ships.
It
can be in your hand and available in stores on June 14th.
Okay.
However, you can pre-order it now. And there's a couple of reasons why that's important. One, it just prevents you from having to go out to a store on June 14th. You don't even know if it's going to be on the shelves or in stock when you get there.
Right.
Right? We don't control which stores it goes to. We just know that it will be in some stores. Two, it allows you to have your book on June 14th. So even if you ordered it on June 14th, it ships that day. You're likely not getting it for another couple days, so you can do it. But even behind the scenes, what pre-orders do is they send a signal to the industry, to book buyers, to news publications about what people are interested in. And if you want this conversation to be a broader conversation and not just something that we talk about, you know, kind of quietly between us, we have to tell the industry that, like, this is important to us. And that's what pre-orders do. They also, as authors, help us make bestseller lists, right? So selfishly, you, if you're on a bestseller list, again, it kind of informs the conversation of what readers and what people are interested in talking about. And so the idea that we might make the, you know, Wall Street Journal list or New York Times list or USA Today, there's several lists that you can make. Yep. And our goal is to try to make, you know, a couple of them within the first year.
Yeah. And by the way, that making those lists is really hard.
Yeah.
Really hard.
I won't be disappointed if we don't make them, but no. I feel like it's a great goal to have.
It is. And I think it's important to have kind of stretch goals. I think it's possible. It's definitely within reach, but it really takes our listeners. Like, I'll be honest with you. If everyone who downloaded this episode today, and we have general numbers there, if everyone who listens to it bought a copy, we'd be New York Times bestsellers.
Okay? Correct.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Right?
So go back.
We wouldn't have to do anything else. And then to your point about it being in some stores and not all, you hit a list. That's pretty much how you ensure that people are going to say, oh, well, yeah, because they're choosing between some book that they've never heard of. Mm-hmm. Right? If I'm a Target buyer, it's like, oh, well, do I want it in my store? I don't know. I've never heard of it. Who are they? It was like, oh, here's this book. It's a New York Times bestseller. Oh, definitely want to buy that.
Yeah.
Have that on my shelf. Right. So this is kind of how it works. You kind of got to win to keep winning, but it kind of requires us to kind of, you know, win the first time.
Yes. So another question we often get is, can I buy it in stores? And we just answered that, yes, probably. I don't know which ones, though.
Yeah.
But another question we get is, can I get it in the library?
Yes, so you can. But again, that's not entirely up to us, nor is that really up to Penguin Random House. They obviously make it available. But what I think a lot of people don't realize is that, one, libraries are still around, right? And they're great places.
Libraries are awesome.
They're great. But I guarantee you there are a lot of people who like haven't been to a library since they were a kid or when they were in college. But you can still get adult books, like relevant books.
And you can rent audiobooks using an
books,
app.
New books, audiobooks, all of those things at your local library. And if they don't have the actual book that you're searching for, like cashing out, you can submit a request and they will basically say, well, yeah, we'll buy it.
We'll buy a couple copies.
They'll have a couple copies and then everyone in your local area will have a copy of our book.
Yes.
So something to consider. We know and have a tiny list. It's about 5 or 6 libraries. We know it'll be in probably like 100 more. I started that process thinking that I could keep up with it. It's not going to happen. But there are a couple of people who have sent us notes and say, hey, it's going to be in our library in Baton Rouge or Minneapolis or, you know, all kinds of places, Glendale, California. So it's really, really cool. So, yeah, libraries are also an option if you want to try to rent it from one of those. Okay, my next question for you is, will you be doing a book tour?
Yes, and we are super excited about it.
Oh, it isn't exciting.
So we're going to break it up into seasons because, as y'all know, we're parents to a small child and just can't be on the road with him in school all the time. So we're going to start with a summer book tour, and then we'll continue into the fall and winter when things hopefully simmer down a little bit. But the summer book tour is going to be Atlanta, Philadelphia, D.C., Raleigh-Durham, Dallas, and Richmond.
Yep.
So if you're in any of those cities or surrounding those cities, please be on the lookout. We're going to do 2 different versions of the tour. There's 2 offerings. The first is just a regular book signing. But in some of the cities, we're actually going to...
It's not just a regular book
signing. I mean, yeah. I mean, we don't really...
It's a rich and regular
It's a rich and regular book signing.
We're going to have wine.
Yeah, we're going to have some wine. Maybe a little panel situation. Music, some music. Maybe we'll even play our mixtape, you know. But in some of the cities, we are actually going to offer a dining experience. So y'all know community is what we feel is the superpower, a secret weapon to any of these journeys. And we also know that food is a great medium to break bread and uncover some of your hidden financial stories. And so we were inspired by Money on the Table, our digital series, which you can find on YouTube, and want to offer that dining experience with like 10 to 15 of our friends in every city. And our friends meaning y'all. So we, depending on which city, again, we'll all publish this stuff on our website. Depending on the city, you can join us for dinner and just meet some new people. It's going to be like dinner with strangers who will eventually become friends. If you want to stay up to date on any of these options, joining our email list is the best way to do that. We definitely post on social media, but we're prioritizing our email list just because it's a little easier and because, you know, a lot of them are day ones. They hold us down despite the fact that we are pretty irregular about our email schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, so fun times. Is there a particular stop you're most excited about?
I'm excited about all of them. That's too like exciting. other than like Atlanta and DC and Dallas, like about half of the stops are places I either have never been or that I don't go frequently. So I will say I'm excited to get back to North Carolina to the RDU area. Yeah. One, because I've never been with you, so I get to show you campus.
That doesn't sound like fun. I don't
get to show you Chapel Hill. Ugh. I get to, you know, take you down memory lane.
That's exciting.
All right. Next question. Is the audiobook the same as the regular book?
Yeah. It's about 99%, right? So, and again, I'm answering these questions because I know there are a lot of people who've never listened to an audiobook before. And so when you write a book in a certain tense, you know what I mean? It's edited by professional editors. And so, for example, there may be a section in a book or a line in the book where if you're reading the hardcover, it may say, as you flip through these pages, you will see that XYZ. You wouldn't say that in an audiobook, right? You would say, like, as you're listening to what we're, you know, something along those lines. And so little subtle grammatical differences and shifts like that are different from the audiobook versus the hardcover, but it's not like there's going to be like a certain message or a section, or if you're thinking about it like music, like there's a bonus song, or you know what I mean? Like you're not going to get something in the audiobook that you wouldn't get in the actual hardcover. They are 99.9% the exact same. So it's really just a matter of which version of the book experience you prefer.
Yep.
Another question is, do you get a discount for buying multiple copies?
Yes. The discount starts at 25 copies.
Well, hold on. Let's be specific. Cause like that doesn't mean if you go to Amazon.
Correct. Well, I didn't finish my sentence. All right. The discount starts at 25 copies. That's considered a bulk order. And if you are interested in a bulk order for your youth group, your students, your colleagues, your ERG, your church group, whoever, send us a note at hello@richandregular.com and we will pass you on to the correct parties to get that coordinated.
Yeah, yeah. Just to clarify, that would not be, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anything like that. Like, you're not going to get a discount for buying bulk, in store, or something like that. There's no coupon code or anything that we can offer you. Unfortunately, that's not how the traditional book world works. But if you do want them direct, or if you want a bulk copy, to your point, 25 copies or less, send us an email or more, excuse me. We can coordinate that with the publisher and have them ship directly to you at a discount. And the discount is like pretty steep too. It's like, you know, depending on where you are, it's pretty steep.
Jeez. Be on this podcast line of people. You don't know what the discount is.
It is.
It varies. It varies based on where you live and where the books are being sourced from.
Okay. Final thoughts.
My final thought.
This is really like a typical episode.
So. It is. It is atypical. Hopefully you guys have hung in there. But final thought is to buy our book, man. Yeah. Like that's pretty much it.
Yes, we are definitely looking forward to meeting some of you guys in person, hitting the road. To your point, we've got a summer book tour all lined up. Hopefully, we'll start sharing some of those details soon. I will say, with respect to the book tour, we are giving preference to people who are on our email list. So we will be sharing details via social media, but subscribers to the email list will be those who are alerted first and kind of get first dibs, since there will be limited seating. So head on over to richandregular.com to sign up for our email list. If you want to learn more about the book itself, you can go to richandregular.com/cashingout. And stay tuned for the next episode. We're going to be diving into the book itself, certain concepts, frameworks, research, core messages, etc. And until then, stay tuned and cash out.
Well, thank you for listening to another episode of the Rich and Regular podcast presented by Success. If you liked what you heard and are excited about the book, please head on over to the ratings and review page and leave us a 5-star rating and review. We will see you next week.